Well, now, at this point, I usually ask you to turn to a particular Bible reading for the sermon, because it's in the Bible that we hear from God. A sermon is not just a speech, it's the teaching of God's word. But this morning, I'm just going to refer to verses as I go along, and I'll be putting most of them up on the screen as we go. I couldn't be bothered is a common enough expression today. It's a real 21st century expression. I imagine a previous generation did not say it quite as much. Why should I be bothered with A, B, or C? Behind it often lies the idea that I've got a certain duty to look after myself. I've got my own priorities. I've got only a limited amount of time. Why should I be bothered? Why should I put myself out to do this or that? Even for Christian things. Why should I bother to do this or that Christian act of service? For example, next week we'll ask the question, why bother to read the Bible? And then in a couple of weeks, why bother to pray? But today I want to ask, why bother coming to church? Why make the effort? And I know I'm preaching to the converted on this one, because you are here in church. So you must think it's important to bother coming. But even so, it's important for us to think about why we come. Why are we here on a Sunday morning? And perhaps the importance of coming every week. I'm going to give three main reasons for bothering to come to church. There are any number of good reasons, good important reasons for coming. Social reasons, spiritual reasons, community reasons, and so on. Church is good for us in all those ways, but the ones I'm thinking about this morning, I believe, are the main three. And the first one is, so as we can relate to God, so as we can commune with God. That's my first point coming up on the screen. We come to church because we have something to say to God, and we want to relate ourselves to him. Now, I'm going to put some diagrams this morning on the screens, and the first one is to do with this relating towards God. We direct our prayers and praises in church towards him. You might call it worship. Prayers and praises going towards God. And that's usually what we think when we say the word worship, isn't it? We want to give God our thanks for his goodness to us. And it's right to do that in church. And that's one very good reason for coming. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul says this again, it's coming up on the screen. Ephesians 5, 19. Address one another, talking to the church in Ephesus, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God. I hope you love giving thanks to God for all that he has done for you. He deserves our gratitude. I hope that you never take for granted all his gracious gifts, life and health and food and homes and family and friends, but rather that you're overflowing with thankfulness to the Lord for his blessings. And you love to come to church and praise him with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There is just something so special about music that lifts our souls to praise God. He's the creator of music. It can really thrill our hearts, especially as we put truths about God to music. So the beautiful, true words of a psalm or a hymn. However, what impresses God is not so much the words on our lips or the music that we make, but rather it is the worship of our hearts. Our hearts need to be right with God for our worship to be acceptable to him. And that can only happen after we have come personally to Jesus Christ. It's absolutely essential that we personally commit ourselves and our lives to him. Otherwise, our worship would be meaningless. Even in church, no matter how good the music is, no matter how true the words we are singing are. And I suppose a lot of people would say, well, that's obvious. We come to church to worship God. If we took a poll of people in Forestside, even if they weren't Christians, that is, I guess, what nearly all of them would say. We come to church, people come to church to worship God. And yet, surprisingly, the word worship is never used in the New Testament to describe a church service. Never. No church in the New Testament ever meets for worship. At least not worship as most of us think about that word. And that's because we don't need to come to church to worship, as if this is the only time and the only place that we do it. Christians worship God everywhere and every day. There's a very important text in the book of Romans on worship, and this is our next one coming up on the screen, Romans 12, verse 1, where the apostle says to the church in Rome, I appeal to you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's an important verse. I hope that verse will transform your thinking about what worship is. Paul takes great care here to describe what true worship is. It's offered up by Christians, yes. It's offered to God, yes. When they offer their bodies, their selves, as living sacrifices. If you're a Christian, you worship God by offering yourself to him. Every part of yourself, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, from the words you speak to everything that you do, you become a living sacrifice. And of course, that's not just for Sunday. It's for every moment of every day. Christians are worshiping literally all the time. We are. You might notice a popular poster found in lots of church car parks, usually just outside the door of the church as people are leaving, which says, the worship is over, the service begins. And it really is everywhere. Lots of churches have it. And it's a little reminder that after church, that the rest of the week is to be spent serving God. So we must never compartmentalize God and box him in to a Sunday only. But you could equally well say on a Sunday lunchtime, the service is over, the worship begins. In fact, that's what Paul would say. He says in Romans 12, the church service is over, now let's spend the rest of the week worshiping him. Not necessarily singing to him, but offering up our bodies so that all our actions are helpful and all our words are pure, not tainted. That is our spiritual worship. Christians are living sacrifices. Romans 12, verse 1. We sing on a Sunday so as we can worship on a Monday. We meet to give thanks together. We meet as a church to give thanks, often in song with beautiful music and beautiful words to equip us for the week ahead. So, thanking and praying to God, from us to him, is certainly a very important reason for bothering to come to church. If we don't, we're just not being very grateful for all that God has given us. But that's not the full story, so let's consider a second reason for coming to church. And it is for God to relate to us. And I'm going to refer to the 39 articles for this one. These are articles at the back of the prayer book. They're the statement of belief for the Church of Ireland. And Article 19 tells us what the church is really all about. So we'll put that up on the screen. The visible Church of Christ is a congregation of faithful men and women, to update the 16th century language, in which the pure word of God is preached and the sacraments be duly administered. And that's what the Church of Ireland has always believed about what the church is. And notice, the church is the congregation. And that's us. We are the church. Not the denomination, not the diocese, not the deanery, not the Anglican communion. The congregation is the church. By the way, that means that the church is not just the clergy. When I went forward for ordination My colleagues at work said things like, "I hear you're going into the church." No, I entered the church a long time before that. Everyone who's become a Christian has entered the church of God. Because the church is the congregation of faithful men and women, of men and women of faith, faith in Christ. And God wants to relate to this congregation, to this church. And he does so, as Article 19 rightly says, through his word and through the sacraments, baptism and communion. We can represent this in another simple diagram. Again, just to help us to see what's going on in church as we meet together. The arrow this time, there's an arrow pointing downwards. It was upwards last time. The arrow's going downwards this time because in this aspect of church, God is relating towards us. And he is speaking to us by word and sacrament. And actually, this is the primary reason for bothering to come to church. It is to hear from God. It's to allow God to speak to us. He is a speaking God. And this is the primary reason to come, because what he has to say to us is infinitely more important than anything we have to say to him. Isn't it? And yes, it's right to give him thanks, but it's even more crucial to hear from him. His words are life-giving. And we do that as we open up the word, the Bible, and as we read the visible words, which are the sacraments. It's interesting to notice from this diagram that God is serving us in church rather than us serving him. Interesting that, isn't it? A church service is really where Christians are served by the Lord, rather than somewhere where we offer a service to him. As if he needs anything from us, his tiny creatures. You could describe church as a service station. It's a place where Christians are serviced by God. A bit like a car that needs a regular service. Christians need repaired, patched up, equipped. We need kept going. We need serviced. Our faith needs serviced, ready to serve or worship God better during the week. And if you're a Christian, you will know that you need this. You need encouraged and built up. Your faith needs reinforced every Sunday. It will be challenged. It will be under threat during the week from all the skepticism and the modernism and the postmodern ideas out there. It will be confronted every day, probably, and disputed. And so church gives us the service that we need, or should give us that, to keep us motoring through the rest of the week. It's a service station. And this is exactly what happened in the early church. In the very early days and weeks of the Christian church, just after Pentecost, we're told this in the book of Acts, chapter 2, this was our reading this morning. They, the first Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And notice how hearing from God, that arrow going from God to us, was the church's number one priority. Actually, there's nothing there about worship or even singing. Prayers would be the closest we get in that verse. But the disciples and the believers were certainly devoted to the apostles' teaching, which of course for us is contained in the New Testament, especially in the epistles. And as we devote ourselves to that, then we're being serviced by God. Well, think about what the fellowship means in a moment, but there in Acts 2:42 is the breaking of bread, which of course is the Lord's Supper. So the early church, we're told, devoted itself to the Lord's Supper, just as that Article 19 says, the church is where the sacraments are duly administered. And there are two mistakes we can make about the Lord's Supper. So some churches overemphasize it, raising it above the apostles' teaching, turning it into a kind of a magic charm. or worse, a repetition of what Christ did once and for all on the cross? It's not that. It's not a repetition. Other Christians neglect it. They never receive it. You might know Christians like that, but that's a serious mistake too. Instead, the early church knew better. It devoted itself to the breaking of bread. Because it's not an empty ritual. It comes with a command from the Lord. Do this in remembrance of me, said Jesus when he instituted the Lord's Supper. Do this. It's a command to all his followers, to all his disciples. And this is how God relates to us, by word and sacrament. He has something to say to us in church through both these means of grace, word and sacrament. And in a nutshell, what he wants to say is the gospel. What he wants to say is about Christ. God longs to speak to us in church about Christ, about the Saviour, about what he has done to rescue and save us from sin and death and judgment, about the gospel. God has extremely good news for us. And that is what his word is all about. The Old Testament tells us that the Saviour is coming. The Gospels then describe who he is, Jesus of Nazareth, and what he has done. He has died, he's been resurrected. And the Epistles tell us about him and what he expects of us. And the sacraments do the same. They too speak about the gospel using visual aids, the broken bread, the poured out wine. They speak about his death on the cross, the gospel, the water of baptism, about his cleansing, saving power, and even his resurrection. So why bother coming to church? Well, for the best reasons in the world. You won't find these experiences anywhere else. To relate to God, to thank him for all that he has done, and most importantly, for him to relate to us through his word, for him to tell us the gospel again and again. And then thirdly, there's just one more reason that we'll look at this morning for bothering to come to church, and it is for us to relate to each other. They devoted themselves to the fellowship in the early church. That's that Acts 2, verse 42 verse. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now, this is sometimes overlooked, this reason, because historically, it's been encouraged to come to church quite quietly and sit in a pew on your own, perhaps, and not even to talk to anyone. And yet, an essential reason for assembling together, like this morning, is actually to meet with one another. And that's why we have coffee and tea after services, and an excuse to enjoy fellowship. I've put this in a diagram on the screen as well. So Christian believer relating to Christian believer. And it might surprise you that I've put spiritual gifts there in the middle, between the Christians. Because often we mistakenly think that spiritual gifts are things like tongues or prophecy. So obviously supernatural gifts, which were there in the early church. But in the New Testament, there are many other gifts mentioned. Things like the gift of encouragement, giving, serving, the gift of love. In fact, every Christian has a spiritual gift. Every Christian has at least one. I hope you've discovered what your gift is and that you're exercising it, using it to build up one another in the fellowship. We use our gifts, our spiritual gifts, to relate to one another and to support one another in church. And this is such an important reason for coming to church. Those other two reasons that I've mentioned can happen at home, even to a degree, can't they? You could thank God and pray to him at home. I hope you do. You could even sing to him at home. And he can relate to you at home as you read his word on your own or with your family. You might possibly hear the gospel even just as you're reading the word yourself. But to relate to other Christians here, this third point, well, you must come to church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's a very clear verse which tells us why we should bother to come to church. It's to encourage one another in faith together. See, there's a great danger in the Christian life, and the danger is that some may give up before they actually reach the finishing line. It happens. You know it happens. But we don't want it to happen to us. And that's why we need each other. I need you, you need me. We need each other's encouragement. And we get that in church. We see someone in church and say, oh, yes, that person's still going strong as a Christian. So I'm going to keep going too. Even just seeing someone at church is an encouragement. And talking to them is even better. I'm sure you've heard people say, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Or, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. My reply is, you don't have to go home to have a family. But the relationships won't last very long if you don't. And your relationship with God won't last very long if you're not at church. My very last reference is in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to skip Acts 2 there, please. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus sets the example. Jesus sets the example about church going. In his hometown of Nazareth, verse 16 of chapter 4, we're told, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It was simply his custom to meet with God's people. It was his habit. We should be in the habit of going to church. It should be our custom. It should be second nature. No less a person than Jesus is our example. So, some reasons this morning as to why we should bother coming to church. I hope you find them convincing. We could put them together in this final diagram, a church triangle, which is all about relationships. Church is all about relationships. We come to church to relate to God. We praise him, we pray to him with thanksgiving, and we come to church so as he can relate to us through his word, speaks to us through the sacraments rightly received. And we come to church to relate to each other, encouraging each other to keep going as believers until we reach the heavenly gathering, the heavenly church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses that we've been privileged to look at on this theme of church, your people, the body of Christ. And we just pray that you would help us to reflect on them. Help us to come to church with thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts for all your blessings. Help us to come to church prepared to receive your word, to hear from you and to grow in faith. And help us to come to church to relate one to the other, to encourage one another in faith and in the things of God. And we pray all of this this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.